ತತ್ವವಿತ್ತು ಮಹಾಬಾಹೋ ಗುಣಕರ್ಮ ವಿಭಾಗಯೋ ಗುಣಾಗುಣೇಶು ವರ್ತಂತ ಇತಿ ಮತ್ವಾನ ಸಜ್ಜತೆ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವೈ ಹಿ ಶುಡ್ ಫೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೌ ಹಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ವೈಲ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟಿ ಸ್ಟೇ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಎಂಟ್ಯಾಂಗಲ್ಮೆಂಟ್. So he's describing here Tattvavittu Mahabaho. He has told Arjuna in the previous verse that the deluded people think that they are the doers. Now in this verse he is telling, so if they're not the doers, then what is the reality? At first glance, it does seem as if we are the doers. So how do we actually understand that we are not the doers? So he is describing how the wise people, how those who are knowers, tattvavit, those who are knowers of the truth, how do they see the reality? So Krishna has used a similar word earlier in 2.16 when he said nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha ubhayor api drishtonta stvanayo sattva darshibhi. He said that tattva darshibhi was the word over there. No, seers of truth, here it is knowers of truth, same point it is. Tattva vittu mahabaho, mahabaho, oh powerful Arjuna, one with powerful arms. Use your power to overcome the power of illusion and perceive as those who are in truth perceive. Guna karma vibhagayo. Guna karma refers to? Guna karma vibhagayo refers to what? Actually, it refers to guna and karma vibhaga. Vibhagayo. So actually, essentially it refers to action under the modes. Vibhaga is division, guna karma is karma within the gunas. It can also of course refer to the quality of the work. So guna can refer to modes, guna can refer to qualities also. Either way, the point is the people in knowledge can see how the nature of the work is. Guna guneshu vartanta iti matva na shajyate. Guna guneshu vartanta means they understand that actually the modes are acting, interacting with the objects. Iti matva, understanding this, na shajyate, they don't become bound. So actually in this world, now often we find that we do things under some stormy influence, and then afterwards you wonder, why did I do that? Why did I speak like that? Why did I act like that? And it is only later that we realize that, oh, it was as if something possessed me and made me do this thing. What was it that possessed me? What made me do such a thing? So to understand that, it is important to recognize that it was actually the influence of the modes which made us do certain things. So, guna guneshu vartanta iti matva na sajjate. Understanding that the modes which are interacting with the objects, one can stay detached. One can stay indifferent. One can stay disentangled. Guna guneshu vartanta iti matva na sajjate. One will not get bound if one stays detached. Now, what exactly do the people in knowledge see? Now, tattvavit. So what is the tattva that Krishna is talking about? He is not yet talked about himself, about the Supreme Absolute Truth in much detail. There are only occasional references to that. But he has talked more about the Atma Tattva, about how there is a soul beyond the body and how that how spirit is different from matter. So understanding the difference between spirit and matter helps in recognizing that spirit is actually transcendental to matter. That spirit is actually different from matter. And this is one of the characteristics of the Gita's philosophy, that there is no haziness about the understanding of spirit. That spirit is not used metaphorically to refer to the animating energy or something like that. Spirit is a concrete, tangible entity. That is the Atma Tattva. And the Tattvavit does not see spirit metaphorically, but Tattvavit sees the spirit literally. Literally means to see it in as a distinctive truth, as something which is the reality in terms of being a higher truth. When one understands this, then one moves onward in one's life without getting entangled, without letting oneself be deluded, without letting oneself be confused by things which one does not need to be confused about. So, tattvavittu mahabaho guna karma bhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matva na sajjate. When one understands that the modes are actually the doers, what the modes exactly are, we will discuss later,
especially when we come to the 14th chapter in much more detail.
But suffice it to say that when a person starts seeing with knowledge, then one sees that actually that which is happening as a process of nature, I do not have to invest my emotion in that. And if I invest my emotion in that, I will get entangled. But if I keep my emotion distance from that, then I can avoid getting entangled. And that way I can stay safe and steady in my onward journey. And that is what is required. And that is what is being offered over here. That we can all move forward and onward in our journey if we keep ourselves disentangled, if we keep ourselves emotionally distanced from the interaction of matter with material objects. Just as when we are putting fuel in our car, at that time we don't invest our emotion in it. We know that okay, the body needs fuel, put the fuel in it. Why get excited and emotionally involved in that process? It's required to do it and move on with your journey. Similarly, we have to meet the body needs, but one does not, and the senses may have to interact with the sense objects in the process of meeting the body's needs. But we don't have to let ourselves become emotionally entangled in the process. To the extent we can avoid emotional entanglement, to that extent we can, even while working in this world, stay disentangled. And not only stay disentangled, move further towards liberation. So the Tattvavit, by seeing the difference between the body and the soul clearly, and by knowing that the bodily functions happen as programs or scripts ingrained in the psychophysical machine that is our body, and they meet whatever needs they have to be met for the body according to its nature, but they don't let themselves get emotionally invested in it. And Krishna underscores to Arjuna, if you don't get yourselves emotionally invested in the fight, then you can stay disentangled. You can use this as a prescribed duty to march onwards towards liberation. Thank you.